Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, November the 19th, right before Thanksgiving. Hope everybody is getting planned on the big feasts. NASCAR wrapped up their season in Homestead this weekend with the trucks on Friday night, the Nationwide Series on Saturday, and the Sprint Cup Series wrapped it all up yesterday, but more on that later. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the show for the very first time my very special guest to keep things in warm weather related, being we're getting cold up here in the Northeast, boat racer Tammy Wolf Jacobs. Tammy, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hi, Vincent. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. one of my staffers referred you to me, so I figured this we're not all left turns, straight lines, and stuff like that. We like to delve into motorsports wherever it's available, and boat racing is something that my listeners don't get enough of, and we really don't get too much of. You know, you only see it televised every so often. So tell us a little bit about the that sharp pink hydroplane that you're racing.
Well, it's actually a tunnel boat. The hydroplanes are a little bit different. We are now, the team and I, have put together a Formula 2 program, which we go about 110 to 120 miles an hour. Here in the U.S., we race all over from Seattle, Washington. There's a lot of central locations like Kankakee, Illinois, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Memphis, Tennessee. So we're all over Bay City, Michigan. There's a whole bunch of Florida races. It is an oval course that we do. It's about 32 seconds, and we do about 30 laps for our final heat. And it's all left-hand turns right now. And when I went to France this year, I raced over in a place called Rouen, France. And we did the 24 hours. I was part of the first international all-female team, and we got a fourth over in France, so it was kind of a cool experience. But we actually turned right-handed, so that was pretty neat.
I guess on the other side of the world, I like to be different, being the exact opposite of us. Now, you hail out of Toronto, correct?
Yeah, well, that's where I was born and raised, Milton, Ontario, which is right outside of Toronto. I am a Canadian race driver. I am now living in Illinois. I met my husband racing powerboats, and so I am a Canadian. I'm a Canadian race driver, and actually I just signed to represent Mercury Marine Canada for the 2013 season.
Good. Get the factory back sponsorship. But see, I see your boat has a Mercury on it. So I guess you're kind of partial to them. So the fact that they decided to jump board and have you as their spokesperson probably fits right in line.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm very, very honored. It's been a little while for Mercury Canada to jump back into tunnel boat racing. They've always been active in powerboat racing, and they like to test their equipment at the hardest possible times, and boat racing does that. They want to make sure that their equipment lasts, and it does. And so this year, in 2012, when I went over to France, being the first Canadian over there racing at this world-famous event, they supported me and have been absolutely phenomenal. And then this fall, after my season finale in Formula 3, where we finished as the first runner-up or second place in the series championship, they jumped on board, and so we're very, very excited to represent Mercury Canada, as well as all the dealers and the employees.
Now, tell me, or my listeners here, exactly what a tunnel boat is. I mean, when I see something that fast and that sleek, you know, bouncing off the top of the water, I don't know the difference between a tunnel boat and a hydroplane. Is it the tunnel boat basically with the outboard motor, and it's maybe a smaller craft than a hydroplane?
Yeah, well, the boats that I run, they are 16 feet. The tunnel, the bottom of the boat is narrower. Hydroplanes normally have a fin in the water to help them turn. Our boats literally can turn on a dime. For example, if you're driving down the interstate at 110 miles an hour, and you know those little U-turns that the emergency, the police officers can go around? Well, if you imagine yourself driving 110 miles an hour, never taking your foot off the gas, because that's a no-no in our tunnel boat racing, and you turn that turn at 110 miles an hour, again, never taking your foot off the gas, and like that, you're accelerating and you're gone, again, 110 miles an hour the other way. That's what tunnel boats do.
My car probably rolled over, landed in the ditch next to the highway. I tried to do that.
And you know what? When we have boat racing schools, because we now do have powerboat racing schools or tunnel boat racing schools put on by the American Powerboating Association, that's the hardest thing to teach an individual that, hey, these boats are made to feel like they're on a train track, rails. And they're not going to barrel roll unless you do something pretty stupid. So it's very difficult for the general public to understand that you can turn that tight that fast and not go for a swim. So it's really a phenomenal, phenomenal sport, especially the fact that when you go down the straightaway, you're not in the water. You're in the air. And a good running boat, only the propeller's in the water.
I was going to say, I mean, and that's probably why you can make that turn on a dime at that rate of speed, because the rest of the boat isn't sitting on the water.
Well, in the turn it is. The tunnels, the bottom of the sponson, actually digs in like a knife, so it grabs the water, and that's how you can do the turn. When you're doing the turn, you trim down, which puts the boat back into the water. And then once you're out of the turn, you trim the motor up, so the motor goes out, and it makes everything airborne again.
Okay.
You know what? If you just go to my website, www.tammywolfracing.com, and if you go onto our gallery, there's videos there, television programs that are on YouTube, and you can get a better idea of what we do.
I'll have to do that after the show, because I'm going to get distracted watching the video while talking to you here now. It sounds like a load of fun. What got you started in wanting to go boat racing?
My father used to work for Mercury Marine Canada. He was the service manager, and he was in charge of high performance in Canada. So when we weren't up at our cottage on the weekends, we were at a boat race. So it was just a natural progression. Behind my father's back when I was 17 years old, I had actually worked two jobs, went to high school, and then I bought my first race boat. And when my father came home one day, there was a race boat sitting on our front driveway. So I always knew that I wanted to do it, but I had to do it on my own. So from then on, I just kept racing boats.
Did he kind of come home and say, uh-oh, now what did she do?
Yes, that's exactly it. You know, I mean, I was 17 years old, and there's a race boat on our property, and my older brother was actually racing, and I decided to one-up him and get the race boat in the faster class. I wanted to go faster. I wanted to drive a bigger boat, so... and that's how it all started. My brother was very, very talented in Canada. He's a remarkable individual, and he's actually gotten out of boat racing and done his, you know, started another career. But it's just been such a challenge for myself, so I've just progressed.
So both you and your husband race boats, or is he now just part of? Does he help you more? Like, is the a crew person type of thing?
Well, he does. He races boats. He is the 2010 national champion, and I believe the North American champion. This year he had a little bit of an issue at the North American Championships in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where he barrel-rolled his boat, and he was out for most of the season. It worked very, very well with our crew that I raced previously in Formula 3, and he raced in Formula 2, so he could help me by being my radio person. This year is going to be very challenging for us since we will both be in Formula 2, so we will be competing against each other. So it should be pretty interesting, I think.
Well, I could just see that at the dinner table after the race.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it civil, but we met racing together in the same class, and we're both very aggressive competitors, and so we'll see how things go.
Now, do you race as teammates, or will he be like, even though you're going to compete against each other, he's on another team and you're on your team?
I'm sure that we will be teammates. However, if it is a first and second situation, it will be very competitive. You know, the teammate thing is just kind of thrown out at that point in time.
I know you're going to want to win, and I'm sure he definitely wants to win and can. He wants to, you know, either one of you want to have the bragging rights when it comes down to family function, you know. So.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And, you know, he's running as an American. He's born and raised in Illinois, and I'm running as a Canadian. So we have separate, you know, separate stuff, and we like to brag, and it just makes it a lot more fun, and it should be interesting. I don't know if we're going to be racing in the same series, though. That's the issue. There are two major series in the American Powerboating Association. One is Formula One Prop, which is what I'm interested in running, that series. And another one is the American Powerboat Super League, and Mark likes to run that series. So right now we're just still finalizing which races we're going to attend, and I mean, if we're even going to compete in the same series. So it should be fun.
Now, do they have different classes out on the water at the same time?
No. In France they did, because it was a 24-hour race. Here we have, in any given race weekend, 2 to 3 classes, but it's they're not out on the water at the same time. So we go from a, pardon me?
I was just saying, because some of the sports cars races where they have the prototypes and GT cars, they're out on the track at the same time. I don't know how it worked with boats.
Yeah, it would be too difficult. Rouen, because it was a 24-hour endurance race, we had to be out at the same time. But here, when you have, you know, the Formula Light boats that go about 60 miles an hour, and then you have the Formula 2 boats that go 115 miles an hour, it's just a recipe for destruction. It really is. So, you know, it's the spectators like it more when, you know, there's 20 Formula 2 boats and they're out at once, and it's just more of a safety issue. So.
Oh, I could understand that when you're going twice as fast. Now, your motor, your outboard, what's the horsepower that you run in the series?
Okay, the SST 200 Optimax motor is about 200 horsepower. It's a 2.5-liter motor. It is a green engine, so that's the most phenomenal thing. It's low emissions. Mercury came out with it a few years ago and won some environmental awards with it. So that is what our sport is progressing to. We want everything to be low emissions and good for the environment. And this Optimax motor, which is a 200 XS SST, that's what it does. It's low emissions. APBA, which is our governing body, is looking for greener venues to go through. So it's not that, you know, black, smoky motor anymore. It's great.
Well, you pretty much run I guess you don't mix the oil and the gas. You run regular gasoline, I guess, maybe depending on the octane, what you need for performance. And does that help the emissions?
Pardon me?
Does that help with the emissions, the fact that you don't have to run that fuel oil mixture like with a two-cycle?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it does. So and it's amazing, because I came from an Evinrude motor that, I mean, it was – you know, mixing everything and high octane, and now you just basically gas and go with this motor. I mean, it takes a lot of the work out of my crew, and they just love that, you know. So now instead of tweaking the engine and modifying things, now it's just basically let's work on the racing aspect of it. Let's work on the propellers. Let's work on the height of the engine, and let's work on actually the driving. So it takes a lot of the stress out of our crew.
Now, as far as the motor goes, is the motor a carbureted, fuel injected type of scenario? And
fuel injected. So it's a super sport tunnel, 2.5 liter. You can actually, anybody can buy this motor. If they go on the Mercury website, under Mercury Racing, you can just order it and then bolt it on. I mean, the public can get this motor. It's nothing. We are not allowed to modify the motor in any way at all.
Oh, so this is a basic off-the-shelf motor that you put in a super lightweight missile and then go smoking down, I guess, rivers and lakes, depending on which venue you're running at.
Exactly. Exactly. So what APBA and Mercury wanted to do was, let's take the mechanics out of this. Let's take, you know, grinding on the motors out of this. Let's get a motor that, you know, should not be modified, and let everybody race that. And it is a phenomenal motor. There are, I think, about 10 people right now in the U.S. that have this particular motor. The other 20 or 30 people in Formula 2 have the old-style 2-liter, not green motor, where they mix the oil and the gas. And everybody is slowly moving towards this engine. In Europe, everybody races them overseas at the World Cup. So it is the way of the future.
Now, as far as the, you know, green motor, will they be trying to figure something out working with ethanol as well? And that's where you get away from gasoline altogether? Or is that something they're not really considering yet?
Well, no. They have been speaking. There is a way to get this motor to run ethanol, but nothing is finalized right now. So they're just talking about it through our governing body.
What are some of the toughest places that you've raced? Well, you say Pittsburgh, I guess you're running up and down the river there, Florida, probably out in saltwater, or are they mostly, you know?
Mostly lakes. I try to, I try to stay away from anything that's saltwater, because we have to clean out the engine pretty well, and it's a pain. So the roughest water I've ever raced in was Rouen, France, because the river Seine goes right into the ocean, and as the tides change, the river direction changes. Plus,
really?
When you're driving at night, yeah. So it is phenomenal. Right here in the U.S., I'll do 30 laps and be done with it, and that takes, you know, 20 minutes maybe. In France, because it was an endurance race, we were racing for 2 hours, each girl. So I'd race for 2 hours, go to the fueling dock, I'd jump out, they'd fuel the boat up, and another girl would jump back in, and she'd do her hour and a half to 2 hours. So that was crazy.
Yeah. How does you climb into the boat? Is there a hatch right above the cockpit there, or do you climb in and out?
Yes. Yep, and then you lock it down. You're in a 6-point harness, and there's an oxygen system that you can use just in case you go for a swim.
I was going to say, there's always that, not that you want it to happen, but there's always that chance that it can happen. So I guess they'd have to have some way to make sure that you can breathe, you know, before the rescue team comes to have to get to you.
There's a system, Tiger system, and has ambient air, so it's right there. But I don't think it's if it'll happen. It's more of a when it'll happen in boat racing.
Right.
it's just going to happen. If you're a competitive athlete and you're trying to put that boat on the edge and you're trying to win every time, which is what we're trying to do, accidents happen, mishaps happen. You know, you're in a professional sport, so you just have to prepare, and an oxygen system is necessary in this sport.
Now, do you have to work out and try to stay in physical shape? Because, I mean, it looks like you're in pretty good shape now. Or is that just something because it's more mental due to the fact that you're on the water?
I think it's equally mental and physical. Right now, I'm actually training with a personal trainer 4 days a week. But I think if you have some sort of mental block, that's going to block you with your sport, with this sport, or any sport at all. So you really, really have to make sure that no other driver gets in your head. It's with anything. If you think you can do it, you can do it. But if you don't think you can do it, then don't even try, because you've already shut yourself off. So I think it's a 50-50. Right now with these boats, there is a power steering system in it. My old boat, my Formula 3 boat, did not have a power steering system. So it's something that I'm going to have to learn, but I think it'll be very beneficial. I do find that the more physically active or physically healthy powerboat athletes are doing better in our sport. But that's just the way with everything.
I guess that helps with your endurance. I mean, like you say, you only run 30 laps and you're done, but if you do the endurance races over in France, that's where you have to be tip-top physical shape.
Right. And it is. I mean, I saw some of the guys come out of the race boats and they were just dying, you know, and it was like, okay. So we were lucky that we had a system in our race boat, and it just relieved some of the stress on the girls. And I mean, you do see these guys that they work out a lot, and they're just like rock solid. And there is, as women, we have to work out and we have to be physically strong, because the boats, I mean, you get knocked around in them. You get knocked around. There's a lot of torque on the engine, especially when you're flying in the air and then you trim it down and go into the corners really tight. You have to be physically strong enough to control the race boat. So,
now, do you have any plans of going into those jet engine boats, or do you want to pretty much sticking with the outboard?
Oh, just absolutely the outboard, the tunnel boats. I have no interest in going. The other classes and divisions are phenomenal and they're great, but tunnel boat racing is, in my mind, just the most exhilarating sport. A lot of the hydroplanes, they're not allowed to, when they pass somebody, they have to be like a rooster tail and a half ahead of them. For us, as long as the boats are cleared, we can shut the door. We can go in their lane. So there's a lot of contact in our sport. There's a lot of aggressive driving. There's a lot of moments, you know, and I like that aspect of tunnel boat racing. Right now, our goal is to learn the Formula 2 boat that we're getting, and to learn the program, and to become champions in F2 and then go overseas and try to become champions over there.
I mean, there's actually like you're the NASCAR of boats, where rubbing is racing.
It is. Some of the boats are wood, some of the boats are fiberglass, so you don't want to rub too much, but you don't want a competitor to get the inside lane. So if you close the door on them aggressively, that's the better way. So, you know, a little touching here and there is okay, you know, but we don't like doing it. But again, what's really cool about tunnel boat racing is that you can close the door at any point in time. You can go in their lane at any point in time, whereas the other hydroplanes, you have to maintain your lane. Well, that's kind of boring for me. You know, I want to make the guys, the other race drivers, go around me. I want them to work. If they think they're going to pass me, they're going to have to work for it.
And you want them to sweat it a little bit too, right?
Yeah. Hey, they make me sweat, so I'm just going to give it back to them. So.
You know what they say about paybacks? when they do it, you got to do it back twice as hard. Now,
that's right.
I think within a couple of weeks, you're going to the Women in Motorsports Roundtable with Lynn St. James. That's pretty nice. Is that your first time going to that, or have you been there before?
It is, and I'm very, very excited to meet Lynn St. James and Charlotte Lucas, the co-founder of Lucas Oil. And I was honored that they invited me to it and the banquet at the IMS show. And so it's really, really nice to meet other women in motorsports.
I'm sure you'll meet a lot of them. I'm just curious who's going to be there along with you. I've probably had a few of them on the show here, so at least I did back a few years ago. A lot of them that go up there, it's just by invitation only, I guess, and the fact that you get to go to that event is pretty good. Where are they having it this year? Usually it's in Indianapolis.
Yes, it is. It's at the IMS show. What is it? The International Motorsports Industry Show, which is the first weekend in December. And I was invited through a friend, and I emailed Miss Lynn St. James, and she actually had invited me. And I'm not sure exactly all the individuals, all the women that are going to go, but it should be very interesting. And I'm honored that they'd even consider me to go.
Well, that's pretty neat. When does your season start now? I guess you have a few months off being the winner, or do you go to some warm spot and race some more?
Well, I was invited to Puerto Rico, but right now we are focused on preparing the boat for 2013. I actually am going to display the Formula 3 boat at the Toronto Boat Show, January 12th to the 20th at Mercury Racing's booth. And so we're just right now trying to finalize our sponsors, our partners for 2013, and just working towards our race schedule for next year.
I was in Toronto a few years back, very lovely city. I've had to go see some things that piqued my interest when I was growing up, like the Hockey Hall of Fame and a few other things around there. And I was impressed at the size of the city. Now, you're going to be having it in the arena where the Maple Leafs play. Is that where the boat show's at, or they have another venue?
There is it's going to be at another venue. It is now, see, I moved a few years ago. It's going to be at the Direct Energy Center. That's where it's going to be. So kind of near the CN Tower, right by the lake. It's a huge, huge area.
So, that's pretty good. Well, yeah, you need a huge area to fit all those. Do you also own any pleasure craft, or basically just a racing machine?
Just the racing machine. We've got friends that are on the river here in Illinois, and as I said, I grew up right outside of Toronto, and we, the family, had a cottage up north, so we had a lot of pleasure crafts, but the only thing I own right now is some race boats, so, and that keeps me pretty happy.
Are they expensive to run? I know, like, a lot of auto racing, they're talking millions of dollars a year. Is it that expensive to run a Formula 2?
No, it's actually not that bad. Let me see, my Formula 3 program, you can get a whole Formula 3 boat for about $12,000 to $15,000.
Really?
For the Formula, yes, that's how inexpensive it is. And you're going to be investing about $700 to $1,000 a weekend of racing. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's a lot better than driving on pavement or dirt.
Exactly. And the Formula 2 boat, the Optimax, Mercury Optimax motor, I think is about $20,000 to $25,000. And then a boat with rigging and power steering probably is another $20,000. So you're looking about $40,000 to $45,000.
Wow. My co-host who's quietly, who answered the phone, actually. Her name is Tammy, too. She's a motocross racer. Tammy, you got any questions for Tammy about racing in the fancy-dancy boats?
I knew a little bit about the boats because I remember going when I was a kid. That was something my dad was into.
Mm-hmm.
I know we watch them. I know when they have the shows and stuff come to town, we get the boats to come on display, and that's always the center of attention. We have all the race cars there, but we see the two big boats on the wall, and that's what we all get over to see because it's different. But, like you were talking about women's and stuff, how are your classes broken down? Are they gender broken down, or are they boat broken down? How do they do that?
They are broken down by the size of your boat and the engine and the weight.
Okay.
So, for example, my Formula 3 program, it was a 14-foot boat. It's 56-point cubic inch engine. We had to weigh no less than 825. The Formula 2 program that we have is a 2.5-liter engine. It's a minimum of 16-foot boat, and you have to weigh a minimum of 10,050 pounds once you exit the water.
Wow.
So for myself, I will be the only woman racing an OptiMax motor this year in Formula 2. There's one other woman that races an SST 120 motor, but I will be the only one. So they're really less than 10% of the drivers, powerboat drivers, or tunnel boat drivers in the United States are women.
Wow.
Not many of us, yeah.
And how did you, like you were saying about when you start and everything like that, but are there age requirements for somebody that wants to get into this, or is it something that, you know, they can work their way up through from a younger age? How does that work?
Yes. We have the stock outboard classes, which an 8-year-old can start in. With the tunnel boat classes, you can be as young as 12. And depending on the class, you know, a Formula 1 boat, Formula 2 boats, you must be 18 years of age. And you have to go through a bit of a training program to get into it. So we normally take a lot of the kids of race drivers, and we teach them, and they go into the smaller classes first and then progress.
Now, when you were talking about the 14-footers, that's not much bigger than a passenger car. And you said like the weight was like, would you say the weight had to be? It was like 8,200 or 820 pounds?
825 pounds.
That's light.
So that is very light. That is very light, and that is very fast. I mean, we're going 85 miles an hour in Formula 3, okay, which is the class that I just finished in. And 14-foot boat, once we get out of the water, we're weighed on a crane. So the driver, with my helmet, with the gas tank, whatever's remaining, must weigh a minimum of 825.
Wow.
Yeah, it is the coolest sport you'll ever see or get into. And most of the time that people get into this sport, they won't get out because it is a cheaper sport. It's a professional sport. The competition is there, and we have the most phenomenal people involved in this sport. They're really great. I mean, everybody wants to beat everybody else, but if you have a problem, they're lending equipment. It is great.
They want to make sure they beat you.
Fair and square. They want to beat you out on the race course. They don't want to beat you in the pit. So, and the great thing is, I mean, we went out racing this year at our regional championship. That night, about half of the drivers went to a local indoor go-kart facility and then beat each other up, not physically, beat each other up on the go-kart track, too. So it was, I mean, it really is a big group of friends going out on a professional level and going racing. People that love boat racing or just racing altogether.
and then go out on the go-kart track after a few beers and...
Well, I don't think the guys at the go-kart track, these kids were running it, really loved us afterwards, but we kept giving them free T-shirts. You know, everybody's sponsored by a certain company, and so we kept giving the kids, you know, Bubba Burger shirts and shirts. I was sponsored by an energy drink company, so I was giving the kids those shirts, and they were fine with it after that. So it was a really neat experience.
You were, we tried to have you last week, but your schedule was tied up, and as far as getting sponsorship for your boat, do you think it's easier to get a sponsorship for a boat program than a car program, probably because it's not as costly?
I don't know, because I've never tried to get a car program sponsorship. But, you know, you have to be very, very cautious, because if you go after sponsors and the amount of money that you're asking for is too little, they'll think you're a joke. You
really?
Know, they'll be like, really? They only want X amount? Are you kidding me? You know, this can't be a professional level. So, you know, when you're looking at NASCAR, when companies are spending millions of dollars on NASCAR and we're not asking for millions, you just got to watch it. So, but the thing is, with sponsorship, because I do my own marketing and sponsorship, you have to make sure that you provide a really great service for the companies that you want to represent. And you have to make sure that it is, they gain more than you gain. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's easier, cars or boats. I know sponsorship just isn't easy these days. So
that's why I figured they'd be more apt to, I guess, you know, because it's all about exposure, and I guess as far as marketing goes, you have to figure a way to get them more visibility, whether it's on the lake or in magazines or calendars or things like that, where they see their thing, and then if you're winning and taking championship trophies, that helps a bit too. But you would think that sponsorship being more expensive. Yeah, well, I just figured that, we can't spend $15 million on NASCAR, but if we spend maybe a few hundred thousand, have you running, let's say, Formula 2s and Formula 3s in a couple different classes, they could probably justify a slighter expense like that rather than,
The problem with our tunnel belt, as race drivers, we as a division or a class or a type of racing, we don't market ourselves properly. We're professional, but we don't, believe it or not, stand on top of our soapbox and go, hey, look at us. You've never had probably a powerboat racer or a tunnel boat racer on your program because you didn't really, you knew we existed, but you weren't exposed to us, which is unfortunate.
True.
So,
what?
We really, as a sport, need to go, hey, you got to check this out, because once you check it out, you'll get hooked, because it's just phenomenal what these boats can do.
Well, you're more than welcome to definitely come on our show, and we have a Garage Talk Live Facebook page. As I see, I'm on yours, and you can post stuff on there to promote your craft.
Perfect. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate you speaking with me, and I'm honored that you invited me on your program.
Well, you have an open invite, so if you got anything good coming up, as a matter of fact, how about after your trip to
the IMUS show?
St. James's Women in Motorsports Roundtable, you can come back on and talk about your experience.
That sounds great. Love to.
Well, thank you, Tammy, for joining us, and it was a pleasure to meet you, and I'm looking forward to seeing good things from you in the future.
Well, thank you very much, and I will speak with you soon.
All righty. You have a good one, and I think you can message me on the Facebook. We'll get to exchange contact info and go from there, and we're glad to be at your disposal for whenever you need us.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You have a good Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much. You'll need more after you have to work off before you climb back into that lovely boat. And have fun before the next season.
All right. Thank you very much, and we'll talk soon.
All righty. Have a good one now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it. Tammy Wolf Jacobs, motorboat racer. What do you think, Tam?
I think it's awesome. Like I said, I remember, it's one of the few things I remember about my dad, and I remember going to see a couple boat races and stuff in our area. So to hear somebody out there actually doing it, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's amazing what they can do with those boats.
Yeah, I know why Kyle's upset, because he's the one who hooked me up with Tammy.
Yeah.
He says, what do you think about having her on? Then he came, that was Kyle. Yeah, with Kyle. And he goes, what do you think about Tammy? Any word? I said, she'll be on next week.
Oh, it's okay. We're going to make sure he gets to hear everything on replay, so it'll be all good.
Yeah, I thought it went. What do you think? Sounds like moving from Canada to the United States, marrying a guy, they're both boat racers. Sounds like the dream come true.
I think it is awesome. And to hear her story of how she earned it. She didn't have anybody do it for her. She worked hard to get to where she's at.
Well, it's better that way.
It is. You know, and I think it means a lot more, you know, like my kids always keep going to me, Mom, when you buying us a bike so we can go race? And I look at them and go, how was Mom when she got her first race bike? Okay. Who bought her first race bike? And then they just go, you did. You know, and they start to realize, you know, that it's just, it is different, and it means more to you than just having somebody hand it over to you.
Yeah, that's because when you do it that way, or, you know, your way, or starting from the ground up, you put your heart and soul into it, and when you do accomplish something, you feel better about it.
You do. You know, it made me appreciate more what I have because, you know, instead of going out there and just beating on the equipment because it's somebody else's, it was mine. If I broke it, I had to fix it. So it made me feel a little bit more responsible with my equipment, and maybe sometimes I'm too conservative in my racing, but I've learned how to be respectful of everybody's equipment when I'm out there.
I think, you know, that being the case, you know, you own the equipment, so you want to go all out, but you don't want to go out so far to where you ruin it because it's going to cost you money in the long run to do it.
Exactly.
And I think that might hamper a more aggressive run to where you might be able to run a little harder for like a championship or whatever, even though, you know, you've done that several times at Englishtown. How many? Four?
I have 3 track titles and 1 regional title, so I have a total of 4 championships.
Oh, I was right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you felt that much better because, you know, you did it yourself.
It did. It meant so much more to me. Like, my first championship that I won it on a factory ride. I had a factory Suzuki bike that year. I didn't own the bike. You know, the bike was provided for me to use, to compete with. And it was just a different feeling than turning around, going back the next year, and winning it on my own equipment. You know, it was my equipment that I worked hard, I bought, and I paid and took care of. And it's just, it was different. You know, like, when I was on the factory bike, I never felt like myself when I was out there. People always thought I was crazy for never resigning. And I said, you don't understand. It just didn't feel right. Yeah, it was great to have a brand new race bike underneath of me set up for everything I needed, you know, best of the best equipment. But it just wasn't it. You know,
as a champ, though, you've earned that for that to happen, even though maybe you didn't the first year when you won the championship. But to repeat, and, you know, you've earned a right to repeat at doing that.
Right, but I just felt like, you know, like that year, too, all the decisions were made for us. We get the call at the last minute, oh, one of our riders couldn't make it. So here we are dropping everything we had, you know, for like the one time it was Easter Sunday. So we put everything on hold to please them because to be a factory rider was more demanding. I like my local sponsorships better. You know, I loved everything Suzuki did for me, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't me. I felt like I was kind of more like in a robot state of mind at that point where we went up, we raced, we did everything, and it was just, it wasn't as enjoyable as it is now. Like, you were running around and doing so many things in between that you didn't even have 5 seconds to catch your breath because, you know, you had your appearances and everything like that. Now when I go to a track under what we call privateer level, which means I have the support of local sponsors, but I'm my own owner. I own my own bike. And it's a little bit more laid back. I can kind of take a couple seconds to breathe when I need to at the track. And if I want to make changes at the track, I don't have to run around for a certain tech to do it. I can get help from anybody that, you know, is willing to help us there.
Right. Well, you were at the Grandview Banquet, what, Saturday night or Friday night? Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Saturday.
Yes.
So how did that all go? Were you there as a guest, a press person, or?
I was there as a media guest of the track. And it was amazing. My husband went. We found the key to getting him to lighten up and have a little bit of fun. I'm very thankful to all my friends.
There is such a thing.
What was that?
There is such a thing. He can lighten up and have fun.
Yeah. So I'm very grateful for all my friends and family there that helped get him to lighten up. It was kind of nice, unusual, something we're not used to, and everybody keeps going, he what? He danced? Yeah, we got him to dance. But it was great. We had the chance to gather together right before Thanksgiving, which to me, it's the coolest thing in the world. I remember going there as a team member, and to me, it was like our Thanksgiving dinner. We would gather together, celebrate our accomplishments for the year. We'd have our meal together, and we'd have a little party, and then somebody else would clean up, and we'd go home. So it was great. It was better than crowding everybody into one little house, and somebody had to clean up.
That's always the best way.
And Gilbertsville Fire Company always puts on an amazing dinner for everybody to enjoy. The food is incredible. You can go there and eat any time you want to, which is even nice. They have a kitchen that's open, so you could always go and enjoy their food, but it's just good down-home Pennsylvania Dutch cooking that we got to enjoy.
Don't they have like a farm market up there? Or?
That's up by Zerns,
It's not far from Zerns. One of the first places I ever drove to when I got my license was Gilbertsville Farmers Market. Or
it's there. Yeah, they call it Zerns or the Sale. The locals call it the Sale. It's not like it used to be, but it's still entertaining to go people watching, as we call it.
Well, the thing about it, I was 17. I had to be back by a certain time, but me and my friends took off. They tried
care
to lose
about
me
Gilbertsville.
Up. They tried to lose me up the Schuylkill. Fair, I'd never been on the Schuylkill before.
Oh,
I'm
that's not good.
Back with place. Oh, it's in Pottstown. Oh, I can't be that far.
Ay, ay, ay.
It was my baptism behind the wheel. Somebody trying to lose me going to there and coming from there because I had friends in another vehicle, and of course I had my first car, 68 Ford Fairlane with the new 302s because they used to have the 289s. Wasn't, you know, juiced up or nothing. It was a two-barrel carburetor. Remember those? And you say carburetor to a kid today, you don't know what the hell, you're talking about. But, you know, and then, you know, the thing was mashed pedal and try to keep up with who you needed to keep up with.
Now, hold on one sec. I have a caller online. I didn't screen him yet, so we're just going to let him know that we're going to put him on the air. Hold on one sec.
Get a name. You know how to do the thing. Get a name in town. Or listen, you're here listening to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. If you want to give us a call, talk about the weekend NASCAR wrapping up with a brand new Sprint Cup champion, Brad Keselowski. Number is 646-649-1899. And hope you enjoyed our interview with Tammy Wolf Jacob, the young boat racer who came from Canada. Toronto, they do say it like that. Anyway, I used to think watching late night TV, the guy said, they say Toronto, but I thought he was goofing, but that's how they say it. We hope to have her back. She's going to the Lynn St. James Women in Motorsports Roundtable, which is always a prestigious event. Anybody's ever been there. And
Hey, Vince.
Yeah.
It's Joey from Low Down and Dirty.
Hey, Joey from Low Down and Dirty, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on the Garage Talk Network.
There you have it, guys. How are you doing this evening?
Good, Joey. Pleasure to meet you. Welcome to the family, I should say. And how are things going after your debut week?
First and foremost, thank you for allowing us to be part of your family. And things are going quite well for me. I'm checking in on your show here. Very good interview with that lady boat racer. It was interesting. Things going on right there.
And we take them all. I started on a little radio station in South Jersey, and the good thing about it is I can say I'm the only motorsports show in the Philly market, and that's how I was able to hook up with NASCAR people and then NHRA people. And when I moved to southwestern Virginia here, Tammy and I were trying to go on forth to figure out how to get this show on the air with the least amount of aggravation, and we were talking about Blog Talk Radio here, and since the beginning of the year, she was itching to get on. I said, all right, let's go on. We'll pick a night to do it. And we said, she couldn't do a certain night I wanted, so we wound up going back on our original Monday night at 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then we expanded a few months ago to the Girls Getting the Facts on Thursday nights.
Absolutely.
Now Low Down and Dirty on Tuesday nights.
Here you have it. Yeah, we're trying to fill the week for you. You know, there's so many genres of motorsports racing out there, Vince. And like you said, it's stations like this and media outlets like this that we need to use to promote our sport and keep everything going in a positive direction. And I really do applaud you for having a boat racer on. I would have never expected to hear that going into it this evening, but there were some interesting things, and hopefully she's still listening. Don't let the avenues of untouched marketing scare you. There's always ways to market things out there to get sponsorship dollars. I know it's a little bit tougher in these tough economic times, but there's always way to market things, and every dollar that you can use towards your racing effort certainly does help. So it was very interesting. Glad you had her on.
She's actually not the first boat racer I had. Was it last year sometime, and we had another boat racer. I don't think is into the same type of boat she was in, but we've had some high-profile guests on Garage Talk Live, and I'm sure Tammy's
told you. What the heck am I doing on here?
You're part of the family now. You're part of the family now, so
we're locked in. We're locked in now. I have a couple questions for Tammy, if you don't mind, Vince. Tammy, it's my understanding that you had a pretty good time at the Grandview Speedway banquet on Saturday night.
I did, and I got to see Whippy in a suit and tie.
Whippy was very impressive in a suit and tie. There was many photos of Whip posted on Facebook, courtesy of your camera lens, and he looked great. I'm serious. Shines up quite well.
And Ernie picked on him when he handed him his token of appreciation because he got something on his tie.
Yeah.
Ernie was teasing him about it.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's all in good fun. So you had a blast, I'm assuming, and as you said before. And my question to you is just how much of a blast did you have? And the reason I ask this question is because I seen your Facebook post on Sunday morning. And maybe we were just a little bit under the weather from Saturday night. Just saying.
We called for a ride home, even though we drove there. We called for a ride home. there were some jello shots flowing.
Does the term plastered have any?
Well,
I think plastered might be a pretty good point.
Well, I can't say I was 100% plastered because I could still walk in heels. And that's an accomplishment when I'm sober. So, you know,
wow.
I had some in me and I could still walk in the heels. So we were still okay at that point. Now, my husband, on the other hand, after they got him back awake again because he took a little nap.
Wait, he was walking in heels too?
No.
We
got him a little more than buzzed, I should say, because you know, he felt they were all teasing me. We're up shooting the pictures of everybody getting their awards, and I get a nudge and I turn around and he's sleeping.
I mean,
the whole table cleared out to go take pictures. And your
that's cool. So honestly, Donald did have a good time there.
He probably doesn't remember any of it, but yes, he had a good time.
Yeah, that was a great time. That's the difference between a good time and a great time.
He
not remembering stuff.
meet the family and the friends and everything at the track, and he's like, now I know why you're so eager to get there on a Saturday night.
Exactly. Now he has a little bit of an understanding. And I must tell you this too, Tammy. I want to thank you personally for posting all those pics from the banquet. You did an excellent job, as always. It sort of brought the memories and the things that were happening there to those of us that didn't get a chance to get there. So thank you so much for all the wonderful pics you had posted on Garage Talk Live. Excellent job, as always.
Yeah, I made sure I was there plenty early. I didn't want to be like someone else that came in at the last minute and a little bit late. You know, I wanted to make sure we were there in plenty of time.
Gotcha. Good move. Good
move. That's like a running inside joke we have, Vince, just so you know.
I think you told me who that was anyway.
Yeah,
but
Vince knows a little bit about that one too. Yeah, we everybody else seemed to be very good at coming in on time. Some people were a little late, but we all...
It happens. It happens.
It's one thing to be out there and as a person coming in and being a little late, but if you're a featured guest or somebody that's supposed to be there early, then it's a different story. You don't...
Yeah.
Fashionably late does not come into play like that. Now,
No, it does not.
Now, tell me about what's on tap for Lowdown and Dirty tomorrow. We might as well plug
that's
it tonight.
Great.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Here's what we have on tap tomorrow night. We're going to talk about what probably our last dirt track race of the season, which happened down in Georgetown, Delaware this past weekend. We had some results from that. I'm sure Whippy is going to have some stories about the banquet, so we'll chat about that at the top of the show. And our special in-house guest for the evening is none other than car owner of the BPG Racing, Chad Sinnen Motorsports, Mr. Chad Sinnen himself. He is going to be in-house, and I spoke to him today. We went over a few things. I said, what's free reign? Are there things we're going to talk about, not talk about? And he said, whatever. So
the best thing you could hear, whatever.
Yep, we're going to get the Lowdown on Dirty. There's actually a lot of things that we need to discuss about, obviously, is 2013 plans and what's going on there. He has signed on again as the BPG Freedom 76 sponsor for next year, which is great news. And going to touch upon a lot of things, you know, exactly how he got started in car ownership, because Mr. Sinnen certainly is quite a young fellow. So it's interesting to see how he got involved in this whole deal a few years ago and what exactly made him want to be an owner versus being a driver. So we're going to touch upon some of those things there. It's going to be a pretty interesting show. And I do believe we shouldn't have too much trouble filling the two-hour time allotted for tomorrow evening.
That's what I was just thinking. I'm thinking we may have to make sure we don't run over.
Yeah. You know, we always like to fill at least an hour here, Vince, but, you know, we've been pretty good with the first two shows. I think we went like an hour and 15 or 20 minutes on the first one. I think we went an hour and a half last week. So we're trying. We're doing the best we can.
I can imagine it's a little tough in the off season. I might venture into other topics or other types of things. I think one time I had a Miss New Jersey on and certain things like that that piqued my interest. That being there wasn't really much to talk about racing wise. That's what's good about having something to fill in. So next week I'm trying to line up maybe a couple guests. Tammy was telling us about some books she was reading, so one of our friends, our co-host, is going to have somebody come on and read passages from the book.
My book,
oh, wow.
My study book that
like
my mom called.
Oprah's Book Club next week.
Well, let's put it this way. It's books that Tammy says make shades of gray seem pale.
Yeah, Tammy and I had a little bit of a conversation about this on the way down to Bridgeport Speedway a couple Saturdays ago, and Wow.
That was my old stomping grounds. That's with my local dirt track when I lived in South Jersey, maybe about half an hour north of there off of 295.
Love Bridgeport Speedway. Excellent facility. I said it on the show last week, and I'll say it on your show, Vince. Tammy and I were treated like kings and queens there. This was my first experience of being on, as I would say, the other side of the fence, as being a guest of the media, of being guest of the track, being a media person.
Right.
And the staff and the officials, the announcer, Jeff Allum, just everybody was amazing and wonderful. I can't express that enough. These guys were top shelf. It was a pleasure to be there. And they put on a great show.
Things have changed, I guess, since I've been there, because I was there back in the, I guess, was it before 2000, or about 2005, when I was hosting Garage Talk Live out of, you know, the Philly area, the Philly market, we'll call it, on WNJC Radio, and we had gone to the Motorsports Show, and we had had the promotions director on the show, you know, to promote the upcoming season, and he hired one of my co-hosts as his PR person.
Awesome. That's cool. That's what's so great about motorsports, that we can all just work together to promote how awesome this sport really is. It's very family-oriented. It doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to get to one of these venues, either in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware, Maryland. It's not going to break your bank. And you have several hours of great entertainment on a Friday or Saturday night. It's incredible.
And, you know, like where I'm at right now, I think there's a local dirt track in Withville, or With County Speedway, I think they call it around here. To the north of me is a paved NASCAR-sanctioned track, Motor Mile Speedway. About 9 miles to the south of me is Bristol Motor Speedway. About 2 hours to the, or maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to the east of me is Martinsville, and then 3 hours south the other way is Charlotte.
You're right in the hub, Vince.
I'm in the hub. I'm high on the mountaintop and in the hub. And I think if I want to drive a little further, I could hit South Boston and some of the, they call the old tracks that breed a lot of the Nationwide and Cup drivers. And, you know, they all go from the dirt, I guess, to the asphalt to make the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Usually come down here somewhere and then make their way up to the big time, those that have the talent and the money. It seems like it's more about the money than the talent these days, but...
Money certainly helps. There's no question about that. And I tell you, my background, obviously, is in the dirt track racing. And some things have been happening in dirt track racing in the past few years. There's been some sprint car races that have been televised. And TV is key. That's where all the money is.
Yeah.
That's what gives these big hitters such as NASCAR and the other forms of racing the backing. You know, if you think about having your name on the side of a car, you're talking about spending millions of dollars a year. But realistically, when that car is on camera and your brand and your logo is on for several minutes at a time, it's really a bargain. You know, these large companies that spend millions of dollars to advertise each year on TV during regular shows, during the Super Bowl, racing is realistically a huge, huge bargain. And that's why so many companies are involved in this as far as sponsorship goes. So if we can keep attracting some TV time for some dirt racing, the dirt racing deal down in Charlotte, which included the World Outlaw Sprint Cars, Outlaw Late Models, and the Northeast Modifies, people don't realize how epic this is to get this kind of stuff on TV. You get them the exposure. Number one, you're picking up fan base. You're turning eyes onto the TV set that may have never experienced this before. And maybe we're going to get some new fans, and it certainly does help the sponsors. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, especially brand loyalty in motorsports. I mean, you know, NASCAR fans support, you know, the guy who sponsors their favorite driver, and then everybody else around. And I'm sure the same with at the local level. You got, we'll say, Pottstown Hardware on the side of your car, and you know, everybody's going to go to Pottstown Hardware and buy their nuts and bolts and keys. And
well, you're exactly right, Vince. And realistically, I don't have the hardcore numbers in front of me, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 73% of race fans are loyal to their race driver's brand or product. And like you said, if your favorite race car driver is sponsored by Pottstown Hardware, you got almost a 3-in-4 chance that the people that love that driver are going to come and buy from you if you're the owner of that particular store. So it's amazing how fans can be and passionate how they can be when it comes to their favorite driver and how they're so loyal to the brands that sponsor their cars.
That's that's what grows the sport. This way you get the next generation of fans. You get some of the older fans that are hanging over. I have a friend, also actually my wife's friend. She's a one-dimensional person. If her guy isn't doing well, then she pretty much turns it off. But I always had a backup driver, If I didn't like so-and-so didn't do good, I could always root for B, C, D, or E,
Yeah, you got to have an alternative plan. You're exactly right.
Going back and forth, and, we're watching Brad Keselowski coming up. Everybody was saying how they were making comments on how he was a –
He wasn't going to be able to do it this year, and I kept saying, yes, he will.
And they were saying that all of a sudden what happened last year turned it around, that, like, the switch went off. When he broke his foot, he seemed to be more concentrated and wound up having a good rest of the season, making the chase. And then this year he kind of picked up where he left off, just stayed in where enough he needed to be, and made the chase and took the chase by the horns from, the opening race. Come back 2 weeks later, win Dover. And it's not that nothing against Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards last year that kind of took over in an off year for Jimmy Johnson, but this time Keselowski had a race, five times. Jimmy was back in it this year going.
Right.
And Jimmy had the bad luck in the last two races where Brad didn't, and that's what it comes down to.
You're exactly right. Like you said, he grabbed the bull by the horns there, and he got it done. I was I don't follow NASCAR too much. I got to be perfectly honest with you, but I was very impressed with his post race interview. I thought that was kind of cool.
You see the Sports Center one?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
I posted that up on the Garage Talk Live page.
I thought that was really cool. If anybody listening out there doesn't exactly know what we're talking about, let's just say that as we were talking about sponsorship and loyalty and things like that, since Mr. Keselowski is sponsored by Miller Lite, he was enjoying himself.
And he had that glass and proper product placement there so he can get on
yes,
camera.
Yes, he did. The logo was spun just right, and that was a huge glass. That was impressive.
It was as big as he was, actually.
Yeah, it was.
He was just sloshing around like it was nothing.
Yeah, he was definitely getting it done right there. So hats off to him. How old of a fellow is he?
Twenty-eight years old.
Wow, he looks like he's only about 20. But hats off to him, man. He did great, and he's at the pinnacle right now because you're only as good as your last race, and you're only as good as your last chase for the championship, and guess what? He's the guy, so he gets to carry that for a few months until it starts all over again.
And the thing about it, he's in a lame duck car because Dodge is left. That was their last race.
Yep.
You're exactly right.
That's
a very good point, and hats off to them for going out in high fashion.
That's the only way to do it. I don't think they realized that was going to happen. I figure Penske, when they announced they were switching over to Ford for next year, we're going to, get the R&D and development from Roush Yates builds all the Ford motors.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, starting to get to work with them with all the Ford stuff. And I guess whoever he had left building, getting all the equipment ready to run the rest of the season out. I don't know how much support Dodge gave them till the end of the season, but you think that would have been dwindling, and for them to, put it all together, just amazing.
I certainly can't speak for Dodge, but I would think, being the corporation that they are, if they made a commitment to do the full season, they were going to give it 110% right to the bitter end, whether it was a win, lose, or draw situation. So, again, I'm very pleased with the outcome for them. It's certainly a feather in their hat. And like the old saying goes, what wins on Sunday sells on Monday. So hopefully sales went through the roof for them. And this whole NASCAR experience for them these past few years has been a tremendous marketing experience for them.
That's for sure. And the thing about it, Roger Penske, a Pennsylvania guy, IndyCar championships and Indy 500 wins. I mean, never
and here
had
he
a,
is, finally. Finally.
He had Rusty Wallace driving for him, a former NASCAR Cup champ. Kurt Busch driving for him, a former NASCAR Cup champ. They got close. They couldn't get it done, and yet they plucked Brad Kay from, I guess he was running the Nationwide with Junior Motorsports. He was winning some races, ruffling feathers, like he said, and wasn't making the kind of name for himself I think he wanted to, but, you know, you got to let your voice, like we say on the radio here, you know, let your voice be heard, and you know.
Sometimes racing isn't all about making friends. It's all about winning
all
races
about winning.
And going for championships.
And that's it. So he gave Roger Penske his first Nationwide championship a couple of years ago, and this year he capped it off giving him his first Sprint Cup championship. And, you know, Brad Keselowski, believe it or not, he's only the fourth driver to win both the Nationwide and the Cup championship.
I did not know that. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's neat because he's not really, use this term loosely, he's not really a household name. Which is so awesome because, you know, now it's, as a fan, it can be a little tiresome to see the same guy doing the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, now you get some new blood in there. He's young. He's got a bright future ahead of him. And it's just awesome. It's great for NASCAR.
It is. Isn't it? You know, a lot of it, he has chemistry with his crew chief. And I think that comes down to a lot of it. You have a pit crew that improves every race. See, of course, he said on the interview, you're going to have that bad pit stop or that, you know. That
it's
bad
going to happen.
It's going to happen, but the fact that you keep plowing through it, and when you look at the crew chiefs and champion drivers, you have Chad Knaus, Jimmy Johnson with 5. You had Ray Evernham and Jeff Gordon. They won 3 together. Gordon won his 4th with Steve Letarte after Ray left. But that was the year Dale Sr. got killed. So that was the void filler there.
Right.
And Earnhardt was finished 2nd the year before, so he was looking to run for an 8th championship. It never, you know, never came about.
Right.
And Dale Sr.'s had it with 3 different crew chiefs to win 7 championships. Even Richard Petty had that Dale Inman where he won pretty much all of his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important that these guys spend so much time together. It's almost ridiculous. And if you don't have that whole team gelling and really getting along the way that they should, I mean, you can say you got to separate business from pleasure. Racing's racing, which you do off track, but these guys are together so much and so often, everything's got to be like a well-oiled machine. And when everything's clicking, there's nothing better.
Now, when you run with your team, you guys are what, in the garage just about every night making sure that things are ready for the weekend, and how many events do you run on a weekend? Two nights?
Well, a lot of guys up here in the Northeast are running Friday nights and Saturday nights. And then once the season gets rolling there, midway through, there's a ton of midweek shows. So a lot of these guys are running 3 nights a week. And it's a lot of time in the shop, a lot of time going back and forth in the hauler, and just a lot of time there at the track. So it's everything's got to be clicking together, or there's friction and there's uglies. I've seen it. I've seen teams just dissolve because egos couldn't work it out together, or there's just a conflict with, you know, this person and that person, and it just doesn't work. So everything's got to – all the gears got to mesh up, and everything's got to keep moving forward.
So, I mean, but your main, your forte is lettering the cars and putting the designs on them that stands out so catch the fans' eye.
We try our best here. Yeah, I've been lettering race cars for a little over 25 years now, and it makes me feel old. It really does, especially when some of the young guys are saying, hey, I remember when you were at my uncle's house or my neighbor's house hand-painting a car. But, you know, we grown with the way technology has grown. We have full printing capabilities here as far as doing wraps and things like that. I can't say enough that I feel like I'm so blessed and so lucky to be who I am simply because there is a lot of talented guys out there doing what I do. And I'm lucky to have the loyal customers that I have that come back to me year after year. Because, like I said, there's a bunch of capable hands of taking over some of the work that I do that can do every bit of a good job as me, if not even better. So I feel very blessed to be able to keep these guys under my wing and take care of the customers that I have.
Well, I have somebody's messaging me here saying that you do amazing work and you're always selling yourself short. You did the GTL RC car.
Oh, wait, and the redneck.
If she's too chicken to come on here, I'm going to out her.
And the redneck.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder who that could have been. Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate everybody's compliments that they give me. But you know what? I started this over 25 years ago, and I was at a job one time, and an old gentleman said to me a statement that I've never, ever let leave my mind. He looked at me and he said, you know what, kid, you're going to be okay. And out of curiosity, I just sort of peered at him and said, what makes you say that, sir? He said, I'm going to tell you something right now. When you're good, you never have to tell yourself you're good. Everybody else will tell you. And I've always been very humble when it comes to people playing me up here with what I do. I try my best. I just like anybody else that goes to work every day, do the best you can do. Some days I nail it. Some days not so much. But the other thing, too, as far as my deal, I was really honestly never talented at this kind of stuff. I had much more desire to be good than the talent to be good. So I worked very long and hard to get where I'm at, and I still got a long way to go. There's no question about that. But we just keep trying every day and just keep hoping for the best.
Well, that's a good thing, because that's in reality, that's where it all comes from. It's the people that tell you they love your work rather than if you got to tout it, then people aren't going to believe you. So when everybody does your talking for you, then you know your work is doing the talking, and that's the important thing. And
exactly.
Glad to have you here as part of Low Down and Dirty, and I hear you got some ideas for our logo because it's apparently.
Well, we're going to be playing around with a couple of ideas here. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to present some things to you that you guys can take a look at, and we'll get you out there and brand you with the new GTL logo and get everybody familiarized with that, and keep moving forward with that as well. So, looking very much forward to doing that.
Well, anything that we can do to grow the we started with one show, then we went to two, and now it's three. Tammy's been handling, the workload of photography for us. I have another person that handles a couple other venues for me down this way, Gil Smith. He covers Richmond for me, and
mm-hmm.
He takes some good shots, too. And
well, Tammy is like Superwoman here. We call her the Queen. She is. She takes care of us here. My joke on the first night on air, Vince, was that Whippy has 12 years of experience on the radio, and I have 12 minutes. And that wasn't. It was a joke, but it was very realistic. I have no experience in radio whatsoever. I never aspired to do this. This all just sort of fell on me here, and I get a little panicky when things are not going well. And Tammy just tends to be like, we'll get it going. The craziest thing was the first show when we couldn't really log on to Blog Talk right away. We were having some issues here. And she said, it's okay. She said, I'll play the music intro for Garage Talk Live, and then I'll play your intro for Lowdown and Dirty. That'll give us 3 minutes and 18 seconds. That should give us plenty of time to log on. And my reaction to her was, Tammy, we've been trying to log on for the past 45 minutes and it hasn't worked. What makes you think that these 3 minutes and 18 seconds or whatever it was is going to be magical? But you know what? She pulled it off. I was nowhere near as nervous the second time around last week because I had some faith in her there. And it's not that I didn't have faith in her before, but I just thought, man, this is just, wow, this is kind of crazy. And my co-host, Brian Whippy Whitman, isn't any help because he's just like, dude, she's got it. You know, I'm freaking out, and everybody's calm, and it's like, oh, man, this is unbelievable. But the queen pulled it off last week as she did the week before. Now, tomorrow, our other tech person, Mr. Scott Neal, is going to be in the house. Unfortunately, after the captain is going to be in the house. Scotty, unfortunately, had a mishap on a motorcycle about 2 weeks ago, and
ouch.
Yeah, he took a luxury stay in the Lehigh Valley Hospital for 9 days. So, you know, he's doing a lot better now, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing him tomorrow night. It's been a couple weeks since I've seen him, so glad to have him back on the program tomorrow night. And I got to tell you, Vince, I announced this on the show last week. I have been overwhelmed and just blown away by the positive response we have all received on Lowdown and Dirty. We actually have drivers calling us and saying, hey, I have news to break for 2013. When can you get me on?
And oh, I have more for you, too, by the way. I have a new list.
It sounds like, I don't know, Tammy won't tell me, but I'm thinking the Monday show is the lowest rated listened to show out of the three.
No, you know, hey, with Tammy on there, it can go nowhere but up, seriously. This girl is a Wonder Woman. She does so many things, not just with these radio programs that she has going on here and the photography. She's very active in her community with her local fire company, and I swear she doesn't sleep. That's got to be
the only
answer.
She doesn't sleep.
I do. Remember, I had the insomnia the other week. I couldn't sleep, so apparently I wasn't keeping busy enough.
Well, I do. You absolutely amaze me, and I say that to you in person. I'm not just saying that on the air here, but it is truly amazing everything that you do, and we appreciate all the photos and everything that you do for the sport. It's
you guys like to make me blush.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you have it. See that?
She blushes easy. If you don't know, the story with Tammy and I, we met at the second race at Dover 1 year. I had brought down a person with me that was handling pictures, and Tammy was working for another website. And what happened was she, that was the first time I had seen her at the track there. I don't know. She was affiliated with, was it Long Island Motorsports?
Yep.
And then...
And let me ask you this, Vince. When you looked at her the first time, did you think she was about 21 or 22 years old?
Probably back then, maybe 15 or 16.
Nah,
yeah, she looks, to me, she looks like she's 21 or 22 now. I don't know. She doesn't sleep and she doesn't age. I don't know what the deal is here.
No, I age. I just have to color to get rid of the aging.
I figure she was in her mid-20s. But, you know, then the season went on, and we went. I was at the NASCAR Championships week up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, she was there, so...
I got to go to
the
21 Club.
We were sitting in the lobby of the 21 Club, and we went up there, and, you know, we were mingling with the media people, and I happened to know one of the NASCAR people, so I got to sit at his table, and I said, what about her? She goes, I can only have one of your people per seat. I said, she's not with me. She said, okay, then she can sit there, too. Of course,
perfect.
We were at the rookie of the year table with Jim Ganassi. Juan Montoya was the rookie of the year. He was supposed to be there, but
he was
kind of late. And he wound up sitting with the champ who was Jimmy Johnson's second year.
Cool.
Yep. And so we're sitting next to there, kibitzing at the table. A couple of New York Times people were, one of the New York Times people were sitting next to Tammy, and another New York media outlet was there.
And here's just a little me sitting there at this table, Chip sitting next to me, making sure I got some of the best desserts in the world.
Jeez, she's always rubbing elbows. She tells me all these people she's hanging out with. Like, man, I don't even deserve to like be in the same room as you.
Well, I was asking, you know, Chip was sitting on the other side of her, which is right next to me. So we're kind of like, because at the time, Chip Ganassi had hired David Scrummy to drive for him. And I'm like, can I ask you one personal question, Mr. Ganassi? I said, David Scrummy? He starts doing the old knife in the chest thing. He goes, please. You know, what were you thinking?
I think you guys were talking about football or hockey.
He's sitting there with his Indy 500 ring on his hand.
You know, let me ask you guys this. Do you guys ever get intimidated at all? Are you starstruck? I mean,
I still do. I still can get, I can't look at
the jitters with TJ Bell in person.
Actually,
you were pretty good with Ashley Force out at Maple Grove, or were you starstruck there too?
No, you know, there's a difference, I think, between NHRA and NASCAR interviews. NHRA, you're more laid back. It's more like they make you more at ease before you do the interviews and everything like that. It's not rushed. It's not hurried. It's more relaxed versus trying to get in the pushing and shoving and the hubbub at a NASCAR race trying to get, you know, two words out of a driver.
Yeah. That brings me to that brings me to another question for you guys. Who do you feel are some of the most approachable people in motorsports that you can interview?
NHRA drivers.
Yeah. And DJ.
Well, DJ, you know, we've grown a relationship with.
Yeah. NHRA is definitely a lot easier. The drivers are more accessible in an NHRA race. They, like John Force says, he'll come out at least 8 times a day to meet with his fans and everything like that. So it's a little bit easier to catch them when you're compared to a NASCAR race where you have when they get in their car to go practice, go back to their hauler after practice, come out to race. That's about the only time the fan can try and catch a driver.
Yeah, and the thing with this, too, with John Force, I mean, there was a guy, you know, when I got into broadcast, and I was like, if there's any one of my to-do lists that I have to interview, he's one of them.
Gotcha.
John Force, you know.
Probably
the same interview. What's that,
Tim? He's an amazing interview. He is the first and only person ever at motorsports in an interview that something he said stuck in my head. And it was because some guy walked up to the front of the line and goes, John, what's it like to be on fire? He didn't even take a minute. He goes, go home, turn your oven on as high as it can go, stick your head in, shut the door, you idiot. And I was like, and he goes, now you know what it's like to be on fire. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. John Force, you know, watching him on TV, looks like he would just be a really cool dude to hang out with one night at a bar. You know.
Who did we do that with the 1 year? It was Cruz Pedregon. I think when they came to Maple Grove and Morgantown Fire Company still had the fairgrounds up there where they used to do the carnival at, they had a special like car show and picnic appreciation, and you got to go up to. And we ate with a couple of the drivers from NHRA, and I was just a kid.
Nice.
And they all, same thing, they were all approachable. They all came in, hey, how you doing? You know, we walked around the car show with one of them.
Cool. Well, that's neat stuff right there. Okay, now I asked you what your most approachable kind of race car driver was to interview. Let me ask you what your least approachable race car driver is to interview. And you don't have to mention any names, but you can give us hints.
Cup tier.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, cup tier.
Cup level. Yeah, Nationwide and trucks are a little bit more.
Really,
like I remember walking through Nationwide and you'll get pulled over. Hey, you're with the radio. Hey, this is my driver. I want you to meet him.
Yeah.
And that's how we met Timmy Hill versus, you know, you're going through the Cup Series and it's just like boom, 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 boom. You know, their PR people are all in one room at most tracks. They're a little bit more distant.
Down.
Yeah. They'll put their head down when you walk past and stuff like that. It just, It's a lot harder to get that Cup interview versus your Nationwide and your truck. So when you do get your 5 minutes with that driver, you better make sure it's good.
It's got to be a quality five.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel as though that it, do you think this is ego because they're at the upper level, or is this they're just being protected?
Because you've got your mainstream medias like your Speed, your ESPN, your NASCAR.com pulling them in so many directions that they're just exhausted and, you know,
yeah,
they
got the first
round
on it, and then if you're lucky, you can get some. We've noticed there's like Tammy and I have when we're at the event, we'll say the race weekend, usually at Dover, because it's we've been there enough till we know we can pick our spots. Like if we need a Cup guy and he's out on the podium, we can get the PR guy. Hey, can I have him after the press conference for a couple minutes and haul them in the side room and that kind of stuff.
But it's still, even with that aspect, there's a lot of them that will say no, you know.
Yeah,
right.
It, like your top 10 or 15 drivers, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Anything beyond that, they're a little bit more easygoing and willing because, you know, you've got people stealing the spotlight away from them to begin with. So,
right.
You know, you're getting a chance with them because nobody else is taking the time.
Well, and that's what I think about the NHRA is the fact that John Force's people were, my info was forwarded to them by Ford. The Ford PR rep at Dover said, hey, you know, we have, this was right around the time about the auto bailouts with Chevy and with GM and Chrysler.
Okay.
And the guy goes, would you want to talk to one of the Ford executives about the auto pass? I was saying, man, he's handing it to me on a platter. I'm taking it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And,
I mean, that's cool. It's nice that they're so accessible. And I never realized that. Again, I'm new to this whole media thing, but that's kind of awesome to know.
You got to schmooze your way in, but once they know you, then
you're golden.
Then you're golden.
Well, like, I've had the fortunate thing of, you know, again, since I've been in this business so long, the graphic business of what I do, I've actually gotten the letter cars for some of my childhood heroes, Jimmy Horton being one of them. I loved Jimmy as a kid. Couldn't get enough of him. I still love him to this day. And it's so cool now. I know the first time I did a car for him, I'm driving there to Bob Faust's shop to letter these cars. And I'm thinking, holy crap, I'm doing a car for Jimmy Horton. This guy was one of my idols here. And it's really cool when I got to meet him. Yeah. And you know, now I see him in the pits. And most people, once they get to know me, it's never, hi, Joe, how are you doing? It's usually accompanied by several different hand gestures and a lot of foul language when they see me. So it's neat to get to that level with these people. You know, again, these are my heroes. I've always been a huge Billy Pouch fan and lettered a few cars for him too, you know, for his owners. And it's just awesome. So what I'm trying to lead into here, have you ever interviewed somebody that you thought is going to be really awesome, you couldn't wait to talk to them, and they really sucked? Or on the other token, have you ever thought, this guy just seems like a total loser, I don't even want to talk to him, but it's my job, I got to do it, and you're pleasantly surprised? Has that ever happened to either one of you?
Yeah, it happened to me, but fortunately, the station I was with, it was, you know, kind of, we pretty much, you buy your airtime and you're your own producer. So I set my own agenda. So if there was somebody I didn't want or didn't think I could get, you know, I mean, it was it was one thing whether I decided to get him. I always tried to get, you know, Tony Stewart, who was impossible to get. He's either either giving everybody dirty looks. I mean, poor Tammy. So that's another story we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But you know, if his time is his time, and if he's giving you an opportunity to do something, you better do it quick.
Oh, I
see. As far as getting one-on-one interviews with him, the only place I was able to do that was at the championships week up in New York, because this PR guy's pretty much got him blocked off or he's tied up in the hall or somewhere or something like
right.
that. But as far as, like, I never thought that when I was, one of my first interviews with Dale Earnhardt Jr. when he was in the Nationwide series, so I was able to get extended time one-on-one with him. I said, I noticed this interview is going to be gold because I'll never get the opportunity to do that again just because of his fan following just blew up.
Right, right.
But some of the guys that I've gotten that might be tough at one track was, like when they were running, if they're running Nationwide series and they're running at a standalone event, like Nationwide used to run Nazareth, so you had all the time in the world. There's nowhere these guys could go when they weren't practicing.
Right.
So that's where I was able to get Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. one-on-one. And I was surprised at the availability of some IndyCar guys. At the time, Elio Castroneves, Sam Hornish Jr., when they were winning championships for Penske in the open wheel. Not a problem. Scotty Dixon.
Cool.
Scotty Dixon, I did two interviews with him, one at Nazareth for the final Indy race there, and one was a pre-tape. I had him call my house, so I did it over the phone there.
Yeah.
And another one I didn't get was Michael Andretti. He was scheduled to call the house for a pre-tape, but his dad went shaking, did a test on his car and took it airborne that year. So needless to say, they had to make sure Mario was okay.
Right.
But
makes perfect sense. But at the same time, you sort of lost out on that deal, huh?
Yeah. And then when I got to Nazareth later on that year, actually it was a year or so after, you couldn't get a hold of any Andretti Green. It was Andretti Green at the time, drivers, one-on-one. They just wouldn't put him out there. They might have only done the thing that they were supposed to do. When I did the interview with the two Penske drivers, I did them right after another in hospitality. And after that was done, I had all the people there, wow, that is pretty cool. What show, you know? So you have the opportunity for these people were to listen to your show because I brought it home, edited it down, and played it on, Monday night show. And this was Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
And same with the English town, we went up there. But by this time, before I had gone to English town for my very first ever NHRA experience, and if you haven't done it, do it.
Oh, yeah?
It's nothing like you've ever been through, especially if they're running with the full throttle series running top fuel. And the funny cars, because those nitro burners will rattle every part of your body silly.
I've never been to a drag race in my life, but you're not the first person to tell me that.
Well, you'll have to go to one next year. You won't get to say no now.
Yeah,
Tammy, you have all kinds of plans for me, don't you?
We'll take you to Maple Grove.
she's the one who puts in. She's the editor of the website, so she gets to put in for the credentials. I could sign off on them too, being the owner, but. We gotta let her do the work.
I do the paperwork.
She can handle it.
She can handle it.
We'll have to go to Maple Grove. We'll have to send the crew up there.
The one I wanna do is the 4 wide down in Charlotte. That's where they get four.
Yeah,
top
I seen that on TV. That looks amazing. I can't imagine because they're like 2,500 horsepower a piece or something like that.
No,
they're more
10,000 horsepower a piece.
Yeah.
How many?
10,000.
Okay, 10, I was like way off there. So again, I'm not a drag racing guy, but 10,000.
Everything
so
is going to be
40...
shaking and jiggling.
Yeah. Oh, even if you don't want it to jiggle. So you're looking at 40,000 horsepower sitting in front of you, just popping and banging and just revving up and
taking off.
Nitromethane just burn. And then all of a sudden, as soon as that tree hits the green, it is game on.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, they were always saying those 8,500 horsepower, machines, and then the
crew chief Mike Neff, who drives and tunes one of the funny cars for John Force Racing, says, no, because we're only going 1,000 feet. We're turning up the same kind of 300 mile an hour. We're doing this. There's an extra weight, and so you figure it's more like 10,000 horsepower apiece.
Okay, right. I wonder how many, how long would that train be if you could put 10,000 horses together all at one shot?
I don't know if you can control it. That's a long one.
You need a long set of reins for that bad boy. That is phenomenal. 10,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
That is just mind-boggling.
500 cubic inch supercharged nitromethane power. But that stuff's nasty. When you go through the souvenir trucks and you see the gas masks for sale, I started laughing. I said, really now?
Yeah, do you understand now?
I understand now. When you get in the pits for the nitro cars and they tune them, that stuff starts, that exhaust comes out. Your eyes are burning, you're tearing up. It's like you've been into a gas chamber in the military.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And I was going to do without earplugs and, you know, up in the, you know, sprint cup races and all that, didn't wear earplugs, and man, how loud could it be? Believe me.
You get those cars thundering around. That's crazy.
One of those nitro cars is about 10 cup cars as far as horsepower goes.
Unbelievable. I'm still stuck on this 10,000 horsepower thing, man. That just blows my mind.
It's
almost infallible.
If you want to get mass women wetness, take them all down to the tree at a drag strip and let four nitro cars turn up.
Hey, now. That is unbelievable. And it, you know, when you stomp the gas pedal on that thing, it's just instantaneous power, too. It's got to be like being shot out of a friggin' cannon.
It looks it. On Elimination Day, we were down the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, just to see who finishes. I mean, we had the experience of them taking off for qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an English town, so you're only 20,000 horsepower there. That's only two cars.
Only.
That's bad enough. But when you get down, so we were down the finish line watching them smoke across the line. And I'll tell you, you got to have a fancy dancy cameras like Cammy has trying to get them coming across the line as they're
at that speed they're probably covering more than a football field or two per second at that kind of speed, which is that's almost unfathomable too. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, and I've seen interviews after guys, you know, took their run and everything, and, you know, they'll be talking to them. And a lot of these guys are, you know, they're kind of out of breath a little bit, and they're certainly not because they're out of shape or anything, because they only just race for 4 seconds. But it's got to be so abusive on the body. It's got to be unbelievable. The G-forces are probably unimaginable in themselves.
Yeah, I forget what John Force said. We only had him on because he's been on a few times. And what the G for the 4 or 5 G's pushing against this going down the track?
That's phenomenal. You know, you think about that. If you're a 200-pound man and you're pulling 5 G's, you now weigh half a ton. It's just ridiculous. You know, that's 1,000 pounds of pressure. That is unreal.
I think a lot of it has to do with the way they're huffing and puffing is that nitro, because they're not wearing oxygen masks either.
Yeah, that's true.
It gets your throat all sore. That's an experience. If you're a race fan, you got to go through at least once. But I guarantee you, once you've been through that, if you're any kind of horsepower junkie, you don't want to go through it again.
Yeah, well, apparently I'm going to be checking it out because Miss Tammy has my itinerary set up for all next year. So I just need to confer with her to see what venue I'm going to and what time I need to be there because she's got this all figured out. Actually, I do believe I do too because car owner extraordinaire Mr. Glenn Heineman lives right down the street from Maple Grove Speedway. and been to his race shop many, many times. Glenn was a customer of ours for probably a good 10 or 12 years. So Maple Grove is right down the street from him.
Nice.
Good to go.
Oh, and I saw Ben Saturday night, too.
I'm sorry, Kim?
And I saw Ben Saturday night and everybody.
Cool.
And he introduced me to Mike Mahaney.
Mike Mahaney is a wonderful young man. Another soon-to-be low-down and dirty guest.
Oh, racking him up.
Yes. Yes. Very, very nice young guy. The only downside to the Mike Mahaney interview is that Ben Moyer has requested to be mic'd up. And I told Ben that the smartest thing I've ever done in my life was not have him mic'd up when Jared Umbenhauer was here last week. So this is going against my better judgment to put a mic on this dude. So this is going to be nothing but trouble. I can see this already.
Well, here's the thing. You're on internet radio, so there's no FCC that controls you have to worry about yet.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's not even that. To be honest with you, I've known Ben for a long time. He's one of the guys that always used to tell me, Joe, bro, I remember when I was a kid, you used to litter my cousin's race car, or I used to see you at my neighbor's house. He's one of those guys that likes to make me feel old. So, I can't give him any respect. I just can't. I just can't do it. Yeah, he won't say anything off color, which doesn't really scare me too much because, again, as like I said before, that's how most people greet me. it's also like it's just Ben. You got to know Ben. So it's, I love you, Ben, but it's just the way it is.
He will definitely
get his balls busted that night if he is mic'd up. I took it a little bit easy on him last Tuesday. I did forewarn him that, since he was here and I'm live on the radio, that does not mean that I'm not going to bust his balls a little bit. And I held true to my word. I got a couple digs in there, but I went very, very easy with him. So if he's mic'd up and he thinks that he can go toe-to-toe with me, trying to match wits with me is trying to be like kind of like being in a pissing match with a skunk. You're going to lose.
You sound like that kind of person.
Well, listen, guys, I have taken up almost all your airtime, and it has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you.
Well, that's
seriously.
What this show is all about. We're the same family show, and we're talking about stuff that it's the off season anyway, so it's kind of hard to fill time sometimes, so it's a good thing.
Well, there, I hope everybody enjoyed listening while I was on here. If I bored you, I do apologize. Tune in tomorrow night, and I can bore you again for a couple hours. So,
I don't think tomorrow night will have the word boring anywhere associated with it from what I heard.
I kind of don't think so either, because as Chad and I discussed today about how the show was going to go, and most of the things I just can't even say on the air because it's just too crazy. We laughed mostly today as we talked about how things could go down tomorrow. So, it's going to be somewhat interesting, to say the least. Very much looking forward to it.
Well, the good thing is I got to talk to you finally, and I guess I'll have Tammy give you my contact info. And
please. Yes, it was my pleasure to finally get to meet you and chat with you, and I wish you all the success in the world with your show here. And if I get a free Monday night and I tune you guys in, I certainly won't hesitate to call in like I did here tonight. But it was a pleasure chatting with you. And if I do not speak to you before Thursday, I wish you and your family has a happy Thanksgiving, as well as all your listeners out there. And it's been an absolute pleasure being on the show this evening.
Yay, and I get to see you tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. I usually try to
guys. Yes. Thanks a million for everything. I appreciate it very much. What's that, Vince? I'm sorry.
I usually try to rest my voice on Tuesday, so if I don't call in, don't be offended.
Not a problem.
You have your guests, and I like to let you, get your fuel flooded out. I mean, are you the main? I see you have a couple audio clips there. That's something
I might want to put up as a, like an intro tune or something like that, maybe a few things like that.
Super.
Down to the piece. So this
Super.
Way we know who's is who's there.
Yeah.
So tomorrow
yes,
night,
sir.
8 o'clock.
Tomorrow night,
low
8 o'clock, Low Down and Dirty, our special guest, car owner of the BPG, Chad Sennett Motorsports Modified, Mr. Chad Sennett. It's going to be a great show. Hope everybody tunes in. If you have any questions for Chad, you can certainly go to our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/lowdownanddirty. Go in there and like the page, and you can post a question for Mr. Sennett on there, or for any of us, for that matter, or you can call in, and you can certainly talk to Chad live on the air. And the phone number for that is the same one for this show, which is area code 646-649-1899. Hope to hear from everybody soon.
That's our own personal Garage Talk network line there. So
that is
that's
a fat line right there.
That's what's good about doing live radio. You can get the fans with the guests and all that kind of stuff. So,
correct.
That's why we
correct.
Do what we do, and we went where we went to keep the show live.
And again, from I can't speak for the rest of the Low Down and Dirty staff. Tammy is there, and she's part of the staff, obviously, and myself. We thank you for you guys letting us be part of your Garage Talk Live family. We appreciate it very, very much.
The more the merrier. It it makes us grow a bit, and the more we're seen, the more people find out about us, and more listeners we'll all get. So
that is correct. And what's really cool, this is the coolest part that I have heard just now, that the Garage Talk Live Christmas party is at your house this year, and I appreciate you putting that on for all of us here. That is unbelievable.
At my
thank
house?
You.
Sure. Okay. Tony's. Okay.
Now, I was going to say Vince's house because I just heard it here right now.
We had
oh,
to
just
happen,
right?
For that, though. That's a road trip.
That's a road trip.
That's a road trip. Christmas party of Vince's.
I'm training to be a hillbilly.
Unreal. Well, guys, thanks a million again. I'll let you guys get back to doing what you're doing. Have fun with the rest of the show, and thank you so much for having me on as a guest.
Oh, thank you.
All right, no problem, and we'll be in touch as soon as Tammy hooks us up with your info.
Yeah.
Sounds great, Vince. I appreciate it very much. Miss Tammy, I will see you tomorrow night around 7:30.
I will see you tomorrow night. Might be earlier.
All right, cool. I'll be here.
All right. I will see you tomorrow.
Take care. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much. Have a great night.
You too.
You too. Bye-bye
thank
now.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy day. Well, Tam, that made the show go quick. I was looking for a shorty.
I know. I can't believe we have like 8 minutes left. That's it.
His name is
Danny
right?
Needs me to get him a few paragraphs for her to read, so I'll make sure that we get a couple paragraphs over to him for her to read. But
send some juicy ones.
Yeah,
I don't want no lame target.
I will not be here next Monday. I got a last minute word that my presence has been requested.
Yeah, you said that.
It's something
and
with
you're...
the township. So I won't be available.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I can work the board.
And I'm so proud of you.
Well, it's just that I can't turn myself off and take the call while I'm doing the show.
It's okay. Well, you know what? You can play the Gearhead music for, you know, quickie.
Oh, well, how's that sound? That's 2 minutes, right?
You can just turn it on and off and pause and everything like that. It's just music. It's really cool.
Can I hit it now?
Yeah, you can, but it's going to blur our ears.
I could turn it down.
See? Use it.
Okay.
See?
I don't know. Did it sound clear or didn't sound too clear to me?
Yep, it's clear.
Okay. But anyway, next week we have Passages of Passion.
Oh, my. It's all my
Carrie Ann, I think Panish is her name. Sorry, Danny, had you on hold for a bit, but we might as well wrap things up. Quick, any Any comments on the end of the season?
I'm very proud of Brad. I'm glad to see him win. I think it's going to be great to get the younger generation more interested in the sport again with the way he likes to use social media. So I think it's a positive thing for the sport. And also because it's a new winner, it's Dodge's last win in the, as a championship team since they're pulling out this year. Penske's first ever win ever for NASCAR Cup. And Brad's first win. So I think it's all around great. And I think it, you know, it's going to be a good boost for next year. And I think it's going to make everybody else have to step up their game a little bit. I think Penske's going to probably have a little bit of struggle now that they're switching brands. It's going to take a lot of hard work to stay at the level they're at. But I have faith that they can do it.
Well, here's another thing they're going to realize, too. Ford's bringing in a brand new Fusion.
And new,
totally redesigned.
New things on the cars next year, too.
Plus, it's a new car, so everybody's going to be on the same footing. Now, the thing is getting the Fords to handle. That's what they're going to have to worry about. I don't think they're worried about horsepower yet. They're going to have to figure out horsepower, mileage, and all that kind of neat stuff that they're used to relying on. And going that way. Now, what Roger Penske said yesterday is pretty astounding to me. They did not have one engine failure all year.
And I think, you know, Dodge is the only manufacturer that can say that.
Well, and that's key. And I don't know if it was just Keselowski's team or he was talking about the 22 car as well. But they did not have one engine failure all year. Anyway, no getting the facts on Thursday for Thanksgiving. I don't blame you. And you'll be debuting a new co-host what, after the...
Yes. Stay tuned on... Ooh, where are we at? November 29th. We're not even going to announce who it is yet. It's a very special person that's going to be joining the lineup with the girl here. And I'm very excited. I think she's going to be a huge asset to girls getting the facts. Very knowledgeable in the sport. And someone that I am so excited because I call her one of my best friends. And one of these days I'm going to actually catch up with her and go down, and we're going to have a girls' weekend down there. So,
that's not dirty.
No.
Catch up with her and go down.
But I'm super excited, you know, took the past couple weeks to regroup. But I think a lot of the regrouping has been eased because I have my Cadence candle burning, and it's helped me keep relaxed, and maybe that's why I keep everything under control for Joey when we're over at the shop. I burn that before I get there, and I'm relaxed, and I'm calm, and I'm okay because I got the wonderful scent burning from my candle. We're going to be back, and all kinds of new stuff going to be taking place. So,
that sounds good. Then might as well sign off. It's been an interesting racing season. Tune in for Garage Talk Live next Monday night, or tune in for Lowdown and Dirty. We'll have to give it the Garage Talk Lowdown and Dirty, so we have the network GT on it.
And that's tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, and you're not going to want to miss that interview. I'm telling you right now, from everything I've heard, you are not going to want to miss this interview tomorrow night.
So, sounds like fun, and Thanksgiving this week. Don't eat too much, or eat a lot, and... rest up, relax on Friday. No picks this week till Daytona rolls around.
No picks till February. Oh, what are we going to do?
We'll find something. Jeff Gordon, on a side note, won the race yesterday, finishing off the season. Clint Bowyer managed to come home second. Everybody was wondering if there was going to be a repeat of the week before, but they weren't close enough to each other. Clint Bowyer did overtake Jimmy Johnson for second place in the points. So it was a pretty interesting season. Glad to see Brad Keselowski. Congratulations to him and Team Penske. Being, Penske's from the Pennsylvania area originally. So you got to root for the hometown guy. And I guess we'll see you all next Monday night.
That's right.
So you all have a good week. And bye, everybody. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
See you, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.